RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Thousands evacuated as volcano on holiday island Bali grows more active. Chinese firm eyes Indonesian infrastructure projects. Indonesia and the United Kingdom strengthen bilateral cooperation. Now the news in detail. Nearly 35,000 people have been evacuated from near a volcano on the Indonesian holiday island of Bali that officials said is becoming more active and could erupt soon. Authorities imposed a 12-kilometer exclusion zone around the crater of Mount Agung as increasing volcanic activity on Sunday, September 24, sent strong tremors through areas in the eastern part of one of the world's most popular tourism destinations. Officials urged the public to remain calm amid false reports and videos circulating online of an eruption. The National Volcanology Center said in a recent statement that the latest analysis indicates that Mount Agung's seismic energy is increasing and has the potential to erupt. Flights at Bali's international airport were operating normally on Sunday, as were tourist spots across the rest of the island. Thousands of evacuees were being housed in makeshift shelters, including town halls and school gyms and tents in villages around the volcano, and authorities expect the numbers to climb. The shelters were well stocked with food, water, blankets, and tents. The National Disaster Management Agency has sent food and logistical supplies to the area, while also calling for public donations. Many residents are still making daytime trips to their homes, and life is largely continuing as normal in the area. China Communications Construction Company is targeting a number of infrastructure projects in Indonesia. Vice President of the company, International Pan Depeng, explained that his company was exploring more than 10 projects in the country, such as toll road development, port industrial area, and real estate. Depeng said when receiving journalists from ASEAN countries at the China Communications Construction Company headquarters in Beijing recently that the current projects in Indonesia are worth about $1.2 billion, especially in infrastructure and real estate. One of the biggest projects is the Solo Kertosono Toll Road project, whose construction process has started in 2016. In addition, the company has also completed a feasibility study report for infrastructure projects in Indonesia, such as the Ring Road on the island of Java, the Port of Kuala Tanjung in North Sumatra, the industrial estate of Bitung in North Sulawesi, and the real estate in Jakarta. In addition to explaining projects that are in the stage of assessment, companies from China, which participate in the construction of Surabaya-Madura Bridge, have also revealed two major obstacles in infrastructure development in the country.
The Indonesian ambassador to the United Kingdom and Ireland, Rizal Sukma, and the Minister of Asia and the Pacific, Mark Field, agreed to strengthen cooperation on various fronts, including counterterrorism, trade, investment, and finance. This was revealed in their meeting, accompanied by Coordinator of Political Function of Indonesian Embassy in London on Sunday. According to the Coordinator of Information and Social Cultural Affairs of the Indonesian Embassy in London, Detti Gani, as a major country in the region, Indonesia is seen as an important and strategic partner for the development of relations with countries outside the European Union. The two sides noted the increase of bilateral cooperation, especially the agreement of Indonesia-UK strategic partnership 5 years ago. Cooperation in the field of defense and security continues to strengthen, especially in the field of handling terrorism and strategic industries. The economic cooperation, especially trade and investment, shows a positive trend, and there are still many potential to be developed. Both also agree that people-to-people links between Indonesia and the United Kingdom are getting stronger. Bank Indonesia says that the economy has improved in the third quarter of 2017 and some sectors have recovered. BI Deputy Governor Dodi Budiwaluyo said that improvement is seen in domestic demand, particularly household consumption. He recently said in Jakarta that it's apparent in improved retail and durable goods sales. The central bank predicts that construction investment will grow in line with the government spending. Non-construction investment, particularly commodity export-based industries, is expected to improve as global commodity prices remain high. Dodi said that improvement is also notable in trade, hotel and restaurant sectors, albeit remain sluggish. Dodi said that economic growth will improve as government spending increased. Other supporting factors include more relaxed Bank Indonesia monetary policy. Chinese high economic growth will have a positive impact to Indonesia, particularly in terms of commodity export. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia's first Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train needs to finish its land acquisition soon if the construction of the railway project worth 80 trillion rupiah is expected to be completed on time in 2019. Vice President Yusuf Kala recently stated in Jakarta that the HST or high-speed train is being developed on the basis of a business-to-business scheme such that the government only concerns with its licensing while its land clearance has become the responsibility of companies group in the consortium. He said there is no problem with the licensing of the project. The problem lies with the land clearance. Matters on land in Indonesia are different compared to other countries like China, where all land belongs to the state. In Indonesia, most of the land is owned by the people. Therefore, the land must be acquired first before a project could be carried out. Yusuf Kala revealed that the government has a supervisory function regarding the project, but for the land acquisition, it is the responsibility of the Indonesian and Chinese companies which are working together. Therefore, Yusuf Kala encouraged the state-owned enterprises in Indonesia and China incorporated in the consortium of PT Kereta Api Cepat Indonesia China or KCIC to settle the land acquisition constraint so that the construction of the project could be implemented immediately. The construction of Trans Sumatra Railway lines is scheduled to be completed at the end of 2019, Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said. The project has always been monitored to ensure that it will be completed on schedule. As President Joko Widodo expects, the construction of Trans Sumatra Railway lines will be completed in 2019. The construction of railway tracks linking Medan to Langkat and Aceh will receive priority in the construction of Trans Sumatra Railway lines. He made it clear that the construction of Trans Sumatra railway lines is high on the list of the central government's priorities. Chief of the Traffic and Safety Section of the North Sumatra Train Technical Station, Iskandar, said the construction of Trans Sumatra lines is underway. The construction of Binjai Besitang Langkat, Besitang Sungai Liput, and Ranto Prapat Pinang City Railway tracks is still underway. The construction of the railway tracks will be completed in 2019 as scheduled. Indonesia's Zapin Senggayong dance from Kayong Utara Subdistrict, West Kalimantan, will be performed at the Muara Festival 2017 in Singapore. Kayong Utara Mayor Hildi Hamid stated in Sukadana on Monday that it was a matter of immense pride for Kayong Utara to be given the opportunity to represent Indonesia at the international event. The dance form from Kayong Utara was also performed during the peak event of Sail Kalimata Street 2016, with Indonesian President Joko Widodo being among the honored guests. He pointed out that this opportunity will later also help to promote Kayong Utara's tourism at the international level. Right now, they are still in the training phase. This is a new type of dance form created by adapting Kayong Utara values, which will be showcased in Singapore later. He expressed hope that the event would offer Kayong Utara's children a broader understanding of the world, especially about Malayan dance forms worldwide. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Thousands evacuated as volcano on holiday island Bali grows more active. Chinese firm eyes Indonesian infrastructure projects. Indonesia, the United Kingdom strengthen bilateral cooperation. That was the news.
Listener commentary today entitled, It's Time for Indonesian Sport to Rise. Some encouraging news came from Indonesian sport world. After being defeated in SEA Games in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia last August, the Indonesian sport world is quite proud of some of achievements reached by Indonesian soccer and badminton athletes. On Saturday, 23rd September 2017, Indonesia received 6 awards at ASEAN Football Federation AFF 2017 awards in Nusa Dua, Bali. The awards were given to former chairman of Indonesian Football Association PSSI, the late Kerdon Andit Permansyah, footballer of Selangor FC, Kurnia Mega Hermansyah of Arema Malang, Rizky Rishaldi Pora of Barito Putra, Stefano Lilipali of Bali United, and Boas Teofilus Erwin Salosa of Persipura Jayapura. AFF data, Sri Palmoni Lip Service Award was bestowed to the late Kerdon for his commitment, dedication, and great contribution to the development of football both in Indonesia and ASEAN. In addition to the late Kerdon, four Indonesian footballers, namely Kurniawan Mega, Rizky Rishaldi, Stefano Lilipali, and Boas Salosa, received AF West 11th in the AF Suzuki Cup 2016 awards. The awards are forms of appreciation to the players who have shown a special performance during the 2016 AFF Suzuki Cup tournament. Meanwhile, Andit Firmansyah received best goal in the AFF Suzuki Cup 2017 award. The award was an appreciation of Andit's volley kick from inside the penalty box to Singapore in the preliminary round of Group A of AFF Cup 2017. The goal was rated as the most beautiful goal throughout the tournament. Indonesian football achievements do not stop here. Indonesian under-16 national team recorded the best result by qualifying for the U16th Asia Cup 2018 in Malaysia after winning the group in the qualifying round. This is the first time for Indonesians U16 national team to compete in the U16 Asian Cup final since 2010. Their last appearance at the time only reached the third round of Group A together with Uzbekistan, Jordan, and Tajikistan. In badminton, Indonesia's pairman's doubles, Marcus Bernardi Gidon and Kevin Sanjaya Sukamulyo, won the champion title of Japan Open Super Series 2017 last September 24, 2017. Kevin and Marcus beat the host couple Takuto Ino, Yuki Kaneko with the score 21-12, 21-15. Still in badminton, Indonesian contingent struggling in ASEAN Para Games 2017 managed to come out as the general champion on Friday by grabbing 117 gold medals, 70 silver and 46 bronze. In the ASEAN Para Games, this achievement is the second time for Indonesian contingent. Previously, Indonesia also won in Myanmar in 2014. Of course, the achievements in football and badminton are not supposed to make Indonesian athletes and people satisfied. The achievements are expected to trigger a sport to get the best achievements. Moreover, in 2018, Indonesia will host the 18th Asian Games, which will commence on August 18, 2018. The hub requires support not only from the government but also the private sector and all people of Indonesia. Hopefully, Indonesian athletes can improve their achievement and bring back Indonesian glory in sports. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening. Read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to in our daily program Today in History, offered at Rewal Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While we begin with an event which occurred on September 25, 1924, when the Second Congress of Confucian in Bandung, East Java took place. The existence of Confucians together with religion council in Indonesia has existed since many centuries ago, along with the arrival of the nomads or Chinese merchants to the homeland Indonesia. This is evidenced by the existence of several buildings where religious worship Confucius in Indonesia. Ban Hin Kong Temple in Manado was built in 1819. In Surabaya, there was a Confucian religion place called Buan Bio in 1906. Up to now, Buan Bio, located at Jalan Kapasan, 131 Surabaya, is still well maintained under the Confucian Majelis Ulama Buin Bio Surabaya. In Salatiga, Kanku was established by Wei as the Confucian Institute of Religion in 1918. In 1923, the first Congress of the Confucian Congregational Center was established in Yogyakarta with the agreement to choose the city of Bandung as the center. On September 25, 1924, in Bandung, the Second Congress was held to discuss about Confucianism, which unifies across the archipelago of Indonesia. The next event was in 1962, when People's Democratic Republic of Algeria was officially established. Algeria, officially the People's Democratic Republic of Algeria, is a sovereign state in North Africa on the Mediterranean coast. Its capital and most populous city is Algiers, located in the country's far north. Ancient Algeria has known many empires, including ancient Numidians, Venusians, Carthaginians, Romans, Vandals, Byzantines, Umayyads, Abbasids, Idrisid, Alabid, Rustamid, Fatimids, Shirid, Madidids, Almoravids, Albanians, Ottoman, and the French colonial empire. Berbers are the indigenous inhabitants of Algeria. Algeria is a regional and middle power. The North African country supplies large amounts of natural gas to Europe, and any exports are the backbone of the economy. According to OPEC, Algeria has the 16th largest oil reserves in the world and the second largest in Africa, while has the 9th largest reserve of natural gas. Sonatrach, the national oil company, is the largest company in Africa. Algeria is a member of African Union, the are a fleet of the United Nations and is the founding member of the Maghreb Union. When 25th September 1962, Algeria gained independence and Farhad Abbas was elected as president and Ahmed Ben Bella as a prime minister. Listener, the last event was in 2003 when earthquake occurred in Hokkaido. The 2003 Hokkaido earthquake occurred off the coast of Hokkaido, Japan, on 25th September 2003. At a focal depth of 27 kilometers, or around 70 miles, this great undersea earthquake measured 8.3 scale Richter, the most powerful earthquake of 2003, as well as one of the most intense earthquake in Japan since modern record keeping began in 1900. The Hokkaido earthquake caused extensive damage, destroying roads all around Hokkaido and triggered power outages and extensive landslides. Over 800 people were injured. The earthquake also caused a tsunami reaching 4 meters high. The earthquake presence was felt throughout Japan, stretching all the way to Honshu and Tokyo. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our daily program, Focus. The title of today's Focus is Indonesia Ready to Mediate Conflict. The importance of maintaining peace, security and stability of the world makes necessary for all countries to commit together to maintain stability and world peace. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla during a speech at the 72nd General Assembly of the United Nations at UN headquarters in New York on Tuesday emphasized that peace must be developed and nurtured through inclusiveness, dialogue, and peaceful dispute solution. Thus, all countries should cooperate to create peace and global stability. It is therefore important to develop the United Nations as a strong global institution that emphasizes peacekeeping, security, and stability. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that Indonesian experience in ASEAN shows that Indonesia has built a fundamental ecosystem for economic development and people's welfare. Indonesia is also optimistic that to build a peace ecosystem and global stability is possible. He also emphasized that the most important thing is that countries in the world must strengthen the United Nations as a global organization to maintain peace, security, and stability. Therefore, Vice President Yusuf Kalla expressly advocated Indonesia's hope for the UN reforms to be strong and effective. To strengthen global peace, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that Indonesia is ready to contribute and play a major role in mediating conflict, peacekeeping, and peace-building in border areas. Over the past 60 years, Indonesia has contributed to sending more than 30,000 troops to 28 areas of peacekeeping operation under the UN. Besides, Indonesia has deployed more than 2,700 peacekeepers in the 9 UN peacekeeping missions. By 2019, Indonesia is committed to sending 4,000 peacekeepers and also adding female personnel to the troops. Vice President Yusuf Kalla says that Indonesia is always ready to be part of a global solution and becomes a peacekeeper. He insists that sustainable peace is not the end goal. He views that a decent life for all is a global goal to achieve. Creating decent life should have a synergies among countries to maintain the peace and development agenda. A number of goal commitments, such as the Sustainable Development Goals and Climate Change Paris Agreement, had been agreed upon. These commitments should be followed by concrete actions, especially for countries which need funding, technical assistance, capacity building, and technological transfer. At the end of his speech, Vice President Yusuf Kalla also sought support for Indonesia to be elected as a non-permanent member of the United Security Council. Listener, that was Focus Today. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. Nearly 35,000 people have been evacuated from near a volcano on the Indonesian holiday island of Bali that officials said is becoming more active and could erupt soon. Authorities imposed a 12-kilometer exclusion zone around the crater of Mount Agung as increasing volcanic activity on Sunday, September 24, sent strong tremors through areas in the eastern part of Bali. China Communications Construction Company is targeting a number of infrastructure projects in Indonesia. Vice President of the company, International Pandepeng, explained that his company was exploring more than 10 projects in the country, such as toll road development, port, industrial area, and real estate. The Indonesian ambassador to the United Kingdom and Ireland, Rizal Sukma, and the Minister of Asia and the Pacific, Mark Field, agreed to strengthen cooperation on various fronts, including counterterrorism, trade, investment, and finance. Bank Indonesia says that the economy has improved in the third quarter of 2017 and some sectors have recovered. BI Deputy Governor Dodi Budiwaluyo said that improvement is seen in domestic demand, particularly household consumption. Indonesia's first Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train needs to finish its land acquisition soon if the construction of the railway project worth 80 trillion rupiah is expected to be completed on time in 2019. Vice President Yusuf Kala recently stated in Jakarta that the high-speed train is being developed on the basis of a business-to-business scheme such as that the government only concerns with its licensing, while its land clearance has become the responsibility of companies grouped in the consortium. The construction of Trans Sumatra Railway lines is scheduled to be completed at the end of 2019, Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said. The project has always been monitored to ensure that it will be completed on schedule. Indonesia's Zapin Senggayong dance from Kayong Utara Sub-District, West Kalimantan, will be performed at the Muara Festival 2017 in Singapore. Kayong Utara Mayor Hildi Hamid stated in Sukadana on Monday said that it was a matter of immense pride for Kayong Utara to be given the opportunity to represent Indonesia at the international event. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Bias Tugel Beach in Bali. Stay tuned. Listeners, Bali Island is one of tourism destinations in Indonesia, which is popular in the world. Bali is always visited by a lot of foreign tourists. In addition to enjoying various cultures, most of tourists come to Bali to enjoy the beauty of its nature, especially its beaches. If visiting Bali and looking for calm beach, you can come to Bias Tugel Beach. The beach is still natural and not many tourists visit the beach yet. Listeners, listeners, the name of Bias Tugel comes from Balinese language, which consists of word Bias, meaning sand, and Tugel, meaning being cut. This tourism area is like a piece of beach with white sand whose coastal area is not so wide. The beach line is only 150 meters long. At the right and left, it is bordered by the rocks. Those rocks make the tourism objects to be separated from other beaches. Because of that, the situation of the beach is so calm. Listeners, there are various interesting activities at Bias Tugel Beach. For example, you can relax on the white sand, swim at the beach, do snorkeling, diving, and also surfing. At the left of the beach, there is rock which forms small lagoon. Soaking in the circle of the lagoon is an activity which can suit and refresh from the hustle and bustle of the city. Listeners, Bias Tugel Beach spreads out at the Padang Bay area, Karangasem Regency, Bali Province. It takes around 2 until 2.5 hours from Denpasar City, the capital city of Bali, to this beach. There is no public transportation. We suggest you to rent vehicle if you want to come to the beach. It is free of charge to enter the beach, but you cannot stay at night because there is no lodging here. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Bias Tugel Beach in Bali. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is Mencari Pekerjaan, or in English, Looking for Work. Stay tuned. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Mencari. Mencari in English, to look for. Pekerjaan. Pekerjaan in English, job or work. Mendapatkan. Mendapatkan in English, to get. Belum. Belum in English, not yet. Mengirimkan. Mengirimkan in English, to send. Surat lamaran kerja. Surat lamaran kerja in English, application letter. Minggu lalu. Minggu lalu in English, last week. Beberapa. Beberapa in English, some or various. Perusahaan. Perusahaan in English, company. Memanggil. Memanggil in English, to call. Wawancara. Wawancara in English, interview. Saat ini in English, now or today. Sabar. Sabar in English, be patient. Cepat. Cepat in English, quick. Next is a conversation about mencari pekerjaan, or in English, looking for work. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Nita and Ani at home. Nita. Ani, apakah kamu sudah mendapatkan pekerjaan? Ani, apakah kamu sudah mendapatkan pekerjaan? In English, Ani, have you got a job? Ani, belum. Belum. In English, no, not yet. Saya masih mencari pekerjaan. Saya masih mencari pekerjaan. In English, I still look for work. Apakah kamu sudah mengirimkan surat lamaran kerja? Apakah kamu sudah mengirimkan surat lamaran kerja? In English, have you sent application letter? Ani, minggu lalu saya sudah mengirimkan lamaran kerja ke beberapa perusahaan. Minggu lalu saya sudah mengirimkan lamaran kerja ke beberapa perusahaan. In English, last week I sent an application letter to some companies. Nita, apakah sudah ada perusahaan yang memanggil untuk wawancara? Apakah sudah ada perusahaan yang memanggil untuk wawancara? In English, are there any companies to call you for interview? Ani, sampai saat ini belum ada. Sampai saat ini belum ada. In English, not at all until now. Nita, sabar ya. Sabar ya. In English, be patient. Semoga kamu cepat mendapatkan pekerjaan. Semoga kamu cepat mendapatkan pekerjaan. In English, hope you will get a job soon. Ani, terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, thank you. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with other topics, sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me in the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll play some keroncong songs sung by a famous Indonesian female singer, Dian Piscesa. To initiate the segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the first song entitled Walau Hati Menangis by Dian Piscesa.
Thank you.
Listener, the song Walau Hati Menangis is also the title of Dian's pop Kroncong album, which was released in April 1991. It was the 11th album of Dian Piscesa and became the first Kroncong album. The album consists of 10 hit songs, which are composed by Pance Pondah and arranged into Kroncong genre. Dia Daniar, or more famously known with Dian Piscesa, is an Indonesian singer who began her career in the music industry in 1979 through her pop album entitled Katakanlah Sayang. All songs which she dedicated have been well received by the music lovers in Indonesia. Although she is a pop singer, Dian indeed is also able to dedicate Kroncong songs very well. Listener, now let's listen to another song entitled Kerinduan by Dian Piscesa.
Kau pernah kecewa tuh
song Kerinduan is also part of Dian's Kroncong album. This song tells about the relationship that begins to break. The lyrics presented by Dian Piseza were actually mellow. However, the songs were very popular among the public around 1970s. Dian Piseza then launched an album in 2016 entitled Aku Ingat Dirimu. The album consists of 11 old songs with fresh arrangement and two others new songs entitled Aku Ingat Dirimu and Dalam Cinta Kita. Although she has not actively present in the music shows, Dian often present in some of air shows in some cities in Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude today's segment of Music Corner, let's enjoy the last two songs from Dian Piseza entitled Untuk Sebuah Nama and Apa Salahku. Happy listening, sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.